informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection.
From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our fall pledge drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity with us by making a donation at WPFWFM.org to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives.
It is with your generous support that we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Tom Cole, host of G-Strings here on WPFW every Sunday morning. I and the rest of the station's volunteers and staff would like to invite you to join the WPFW Legacy Listener Circle by making a contribution to the station's future through your estate plan. There are a lot of ways to do that, through your IRA or retirement plan, by gifting us life insurance, or through your donor-advised fund. We'd be happy to have a confidential discussion with you as you consider a planned gift to the station. Please reach out to us at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or call us at 202-588-0999. Thank you for considering becoming a part of WPFW.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.
He is amazing.
I didn't know nothing about it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
Be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo.
With the finger roll, plus the foul.
Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome to the Collision. This is where sports and politics collide here at your home for jazz and justice, 89.3 FM WPFW, where we're trying to change the one broadcast at a time because it's your home for jazz and justice, and that is something that will never change. And this show is heavy on the sports, heavy on the politics, and heavy on the justice. This is fundraising season, of course. Right here in the fall, we want to keep WPFW working for you. So before we get into that, and before we get into the whole sports and politics goulash that is existing right now on the landscape, I want to introduce my co-host for this week, the great Chuck Modiano. How you doing, Chuck?
DZ, great to be here.
Man, great to hear your voice. Also on the line to help us, I do believe, with our fundraising prowess, the great Katia Stitt. How are you doing, Katia?
I am well and so happy to be with you gentlemen. Thank you for having me. I feel like
it's wonderful to have you, Katia. It's very much appreciated. You are the James Brown of our time, the hardest working woman in show business. So we have to make sure that we respect your time and let you know how grateful we are for you joining us.
Nothing but praise for Katia here.
Thank
Absolutely. And we have so much we want to talk about. I mean, we do want to cover what happened last night in the WNBA, an absolutely thrilling finals game that saw the New York Liberty inch one step closer to the WNBA title after this incredibly cacophonous, high-profile WNBA season. They won 80-77 against the vaunted Minnesota Lynx, led by Nafisa Collier. And it's such an interesting story because this is a WNBA season that I think a lot of people involved are not only going to celebrate, given the explosive popularity, but they might also slump into their seats exhausted because it has been an emotional roller coaster. Am I right, Chuck?
Oh, you are right. I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, I'm going through my brain through WNBA and NBA finals and thinking about, in three games, has there ever been a situation where a logo three ends one game and then a 4-point play to take the lead by Courtney Williams in the other game before it goes into overtime? We're seeing things that might happen once in one final, and we're seeing two of those moments in three games in the finals. So this has been amazing.
Amazing indeed, and we'll get more into it as well. Also, yesterday, a very special day at the intersection of sports and politics, practically a holiday, October 16th. Of course, we all remember 56 years ago.
Ooh.
When? That's Lawrence Taylor's number, love 56, although his politics leave a lot to be desired. But boyhood heroes hang tough in your heart. But it's been 56 years since Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised their fist in 1968 at the Summer Olympics in Mexico City. Yes, the Olympics were in October of 1968, and we could talk about why that was the case as a part of this story. But what I wanted Chuck and I and Katia as well to do, if she would like, is to speak about the Smith and Carlos salute, their black glove fists raised to the heavens, and not just tell the history, which we've done on this show, and we've had John Carlos as a guest numerous times on this show, but to speak about what that image means to us in 2024 and why, in fact, it still resonates as much more than just a picture from history. But before we get into all of that, and yes, we might also have time for a little Lamar, Jaden Daniels, battle of what Tylan Wallace called the DMV, although we know Baltimore's not the DMV. But we might talk about that Baltimore Ravens-Washington Commanders game from a week ago. But before we start with any of this, and I know I'm filibustering like a madman over here, which might not be what people want to be listening to on their radios at work. Shout out to everybody who does that. I love it when you reach out to me. I did want to bring it to Katia Stitt real quick so she can help us start to get the ball rolling and explain this important fun drive here at WPFW.
Well, thank you, Dave. Indeed, it is an important fun drive. We have lots going on. As you know, we were the victims of a cyber attack. It feels like several weeks now, but we've also still been having internet problems and streaming going down. So, you know, it's critical that mm-hmm. people support the work here at WPFW. In addition, we have to move by December, so we're working on that front. And, you know, we are also, frankly, radio not for the politically faint of heart. And we would be naive to think that there are not forces out there that would rather us be silent and not succeed. But we know that the people feel differently. The people who have supported us over all these years, who understand the mission of WPFW, that understand why there is a collision with Dave Zirin and Chuck Modiano and Eitan Thomas on WPFW, why this kind of programming exists on WPFW, you are the ones that we need to step up right now and support the collision. We have a modest goal of $500. We can do that together, folks. I do want to thank Brenda Jones, who generously supported on the margin the last hour. And so it's your turn to support that which supports you in the form of the collision, in the form of these two excellent journalists, Dave Zirin and Chuck Modiano, on with us today. This is amazing that we have these gentlemen here. I hope you know their reporting is worldwide and it is sought after. And yet they volunteer their time to be with us, to bring us the most relevant news on not only sports, but what is happening in the political world and what we can do about it, how we can resist. So it's an important program. You know that because you're listening. And we ask you to go to the phone 202-588-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org and pledge your support to the Collision. $500 to go. And Dave and Chuck, I hope to come back and thank some folks with you on the other side of this first segment.
But before we go to the first segment, Katia, I really want to underline one thing that you said, and that's that WPFW plays a unique and important political role in the landscape here in the D.C. area and beyond. And I feel like that's why we were cyber attacked. And we need our listeners to step up and support us in the wake of this horrible violation of our mission at WPFW. And our ability to organize in the face of that is also a way of telling people who would do us harm that they're wasting their time, because we are so fortified by you, the people. Katia, would you agree with that analysis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All day, every day. And it was interesting that I won't name the country, or we don't know if it's that country, so we won't name it. But apparently it could have been interference by a country. And I'm just going to leave that there. So WPFW and media outlets like it are more critical than ever right now, because it's one of the few places that not only do you get facts and the truth, you get some opinions as well, but honestly, you get that everywhere in the media, but you also hear from the people most affected. And if you're not hearing directly from them, you're hearing from the people who have interviewed the people most affected. So you get their voices, and that is critically important in the world today.
Could not agree with you more. What's the best way people can support WPFW in the face of these attacks, Katia?
I would say still go online to WPFWFM.org. You can also call 202-588-9739 if you still prefer an 800 number. That's 800-222-9739. You can also use Cash App, $WPFWFM. And I know for many that is a quick and easy way, because you have the app right there on the phone. You can hop over from your listening and go right to Cash App and do that. I also want to say that we're trying to upgrade and thrive. You know, we are looking at getting our app back, so it'll make it really simple to listen. It'll have podcasting and appointment listening there, or on-demand listening there, all of those wonderful things. So, you know, we are small but mighty. We put our resources into really making WPFW the best place it can, so we can do the best work for the people.
Beautifully put, Katia. Beautifully look. Anything you want to add, Chuck, before we start rolling?
Well, I want to add where my opinion lies of how the cyber attack happened. That would be consistent with so many other voices who say free Palestine with their chest out, who say stop arming Israel with their chest out, who say end the occupation now with their chest out. So, you know, we've seen this. And then we also know, you know, throughout particularly the last year, but far longer than the year, the quickest way to be censored is to fight against genocide that has been going on right now. And whether that is Al Jazeera getting their offices shut down by Israel, or so many people on social media who all of a sudden disappear because they're fighting for children who are getting burned alive. So, you know, we may not have proof, we have a lot of evidence of consistency to connect the dots of why this keeps happening to these very networks that are telling the truth. Because quite honestly, I wouldn't want to be on any network that couldn't say free Palestine with your chest out, because that's not journalism.
I would just add to that, Chuck, that while I agree with everything you said, I think it's these attacks on the media are also broader than Israel-Palestine. Like, there is an international network of authoritarian leaders who are open about using cyber attacks to any kind of organization that dares speak out for a society where people can live in peace and without white supremacy. Like that is something that is very much on the political agenda of some very powerful people. So that's what we're up against. That's what we're fighting against. That's who we are as WPFW, and we want to encourage people to join that fight. Now, Chuck, I just want put this in a bow because we have so much to talk about. But WNBA, New York Liberty up 2-1. They win last night 80-77, as you mentioned, with a logo three. And for listeners, that means a three-point shot very far away from the hoop that rests somewhere for the WNBA logo, which exists roughly 5 feet outside the actual three-point line. So just a monster shot. Very few players in the NBA hit the shot. Very few players in the WNBA hit the shot. But one of the ones who surely can is Sabrina Ionescu. She did so last night. The Liberty are one step closer to the championship. 3-1 is what they're going to need, or 3-2 to win it. It's only best of five. But the Lynx are tougher than a $3 stake, and they're not going to go gentle into that good night against what you have to say is a more on paper talented New York Liberty team. But man, do I think the Lynx are better coached, and man, are they tough. Your thoughts about what this finals, Chuck?
Ooh, I mean, everything you just said. I mean, it was so incredible yesterday. Obviously, the UNESCO big shot from logo three. But, you know, Breonna Stewart probably gets the quietest 30 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 blocks that you will ever see. You just look up at the box score, and it's filled up. Not flashy. You don't really see it coming. And then it's there. It does everything really, really well. And quite honestly, I think the Lynx win this game if Alana Smith doesn't get injured for the Lynx, because the Liberty have a huge size advantage. They have a front line. Jonquel Jones is 6'6", Breonna Stewart is 6'4", and the Lynx really only have one starter over 6'1", and that's Alana Smith. So you're giving, when she gets injured, and then they make the comeback in the second half. So I don't think that's been talked about enough yesterday.
A very good point indeed, for sure. I'm a little surprised that Asia Wilson and Las Vegas did not make these finals. But again, that just speaks to Minnesota that they bring to the table in terms of both toughness and playoff experience. New York finally looks so close to, at long last, climbing this mountain. And they've been at it for a long time. But the multi-time champion Minnesota Lynx, led by Cheryl Reed, I wouldn't be surprised for 1 second. Chuck, if Minnesota comes back and wins this thing 3-2, would that actually surprise you?
Of course it would surprise me, for the simple fact of what I just said, size, right? You could have a bad shooting game, and if you have size, you could still win. So when the Lynx stole game one, and they stole game one, really, the Liberty had about 16 more shots, something like that, 14, 15, 16 more shots for it to be close. So even when the Lynx outshot the Liberty, they were there. And now if Alana Smith is questionable and they're going to get more rebounds, because last game was the only game was even, I think Liberty had one more rebound, but not in the first half, then what would it take was really Kaylee McBride shooting 50% from three in the next couple games and her teammates doing so as well. They also had the benefit of Courtney Williams playing out of her mind. Like she's a, you know, WNBA first team all-star. The truth is she's been on like 6 teams in 9 years. And I mean, good player, but, you know, nothing incredible. And then all of a sudden she just decides to be Maya Moore or something. And she just is going nuts. And maybe what happened yesterday, maybe she just comes back a little bit to earth. So I have the Liberty based on size and based on some players playing over their heads. But what I'll end with, the fact that people get to see Nafisa Collier and how incredible she is, and then her sort of national coming out party for those people who don't watch the WNBA, that's a treat within itself.
That is a treat within itself. Nafisa Collier, Fee, as she's known, becoming somebody who what WNBA fans have known for some time, that she is a first-level player. And I agree with you about the size question. I've always been in Breonna's. I've interviewed Breonna Stewart, somebody I actually on a lot of fronts, I have a great deal of respect for. That being said, Chuck, while I agree with you that the Liberty should be favored, I do give the Lynx the chance, as much as a 30% chance to come back and win this thing 3-2. I know I am resting a little bit on pedigree, but you know and I know that in basketball, pedigree matters, especially when the lights get hot.
If you get hot from three, anything could happen. And you know what? The Lynx are the best three-point shooting team in the league. They shot 38% as a team. 38% as a team. That's how incredible they are. So a lot of it really has to do with, you know, what Caleb McBride, Courtney Williams, if they could have their best game, then it doesn't matter that rebounding advantage. But they will have to have their best game.
Yeah, agreed times a thousand. I cannot agree with you any more on this. Anything else on the WNBA? Anything else you want to add, Chuck?
Well, you know, if I go down that rabbit hole, we'll be here for a while. But I just want to say these playoffs have been just absolutely incredible. If anyone is not watching, turn it on. You know, you may see another historic moment. I think the last thing is you mentioned something about the Aces. You were surprised. I think that the Liberty beat them from that size advantage as well. That they had Aces had Aja Wilson, but they have a front line of a couple of people, and the Aces were out-rebounded. And they almost have a perfect matchup. And we know, like, basketball is about matchups. A perfect matchup to beat the Aces. So I think that's where, you know, Liberty really thrives, if they're getting second and third shots.
Very well put. Well, yo, this is an important topic. There's much more we can say about it. Sabrina Ionescu, I keep waiting. I mean, it's so odd to me because she plays in New York. She has ridiculous range. She's been a known quantity for a long time. She almost beat Steph Curry in a three-point contest, and I thought it's not talked about enough, like how her cool under fire in that three-point contest was frankly something to see. Like, I watched that just hoping that it wouldn't be the sort of thing where the lights were too bright. She was shooting from three-point range, NBA three-point range. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this could actually end badly. And the last thing we need are more right-wing you-know-what, you know, using the WNBA as their favorite target for their poor jokes and sexist phrases. And yet Ionescu just was absolutely amazing. And that didn't stop Steph Curry from taking that championship belt, because I thought it's kind of – but we'll see what happens going forward. I hope – last night was, in a lot of respects, a much overdue Sabrina Ionescu coming out party, because that three-pointer for the win was something really special. And I think that's all I have to say about these WNBA finals.
Hey, that's a good thing to say. I just want to add her adjustment. She took a whole lot of shots in game one and did not shoot well at all.
No.
And then made an adjustment to pull back and be more of a facilitator. That's what you need to do.
Absolutely, especially given her strength as a player. And I just will throw in, Chuck, as a last point, is that you had expressed to me online that you wanted to say some, I think, very important things about the player everybody talks about, WNBA superstar Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I pushed back on that a little bit of taking radio time to talk about Caitlin Clark, largely because I feel like every time anybody talks about the WNBA, it kind of circles towards Caitlin Clark. And I really want to give the Nafisa Colliers the shine. I want to give Sabrinas the shine. I want to give the people who are Courtney Williams, I want to give them the shine of this particular moment and not make everything, at least as a touchstone, whatever Caitlin Clark's doing. Maybe that's wrong. But that's my thinking about that.
Well, you gave me the opening, so I got to take it a little bit, DC. I was going to lay off.
I'm not now. I'm not an idiot, sir. I know what I'm doing.
It's independent of the fact that the WNBA first team was named yesterday, okay? And Caitlin Clark was on that WNBA team, and she did not deserve to be a WNBA first teamer. She just did not. If you look at the other four players, all who were there last year, Aja Wilson, Alyssa Thomas, Breonna Stewart, Nafisa Collier, they deserve to be there. And I think, like, first of all, they have the top four records, and largely because of them. But what nobody wants to talk about
And it's not hate. It's just fact. Next year, she will deserve to be there. If she had 2 second halves, she will deserve to be there. But she shattered the record for turnovers. I don't mean she led the league. I'm saying she shattered the record, 5.7 a game. And in doing so, she gives up about 3 extra possessions versus any other guard, versus Ionescu, versus Taylor McBride and others. And we can't look the other way. There's a reason in all advanced stats Caitlin Clark is low. It's the turnovers. It starts with the turnovers. It's also that she shot only 34% from 3. And she would have been much better served if she kicked it out more to Kelsey Mitchell, because she's a brilliant passer, already the best passer in the WNBA. I love to watch her pass. But Kelsey Mitchell was 40% last year, and Kelsey Mitchell was 40% the year before. You're shooting 34, kick it out to Kelsey. And if she did that, instead of leading the league in three-point attempts and leading the league in turnovers, you would have seen them have a much better record. And the last thing I want to say is, if you look at those other 4 players, they do something. They're two-way players. Those are Breonna Stewart, first team all defense. Aisha Wilson, first team all defense. Alyssa Thomas, second team all defense. Nafisa Collier, first team all defense, best defender. And then you have a person who's average at best, and you could argue below average. So all of a sudden, defense no longer matters either for the first team all-star. So what I believe happened is that the voters caved in to the Caitlin Clark mob to give her accolades she didn't deserve. She might deserve it next year, but not now. And we have to be honest about that. That's not hate. That's not, I don't like her or anything like that. It's just the fact that we would have in any other NBA discussion that she is being elevated. And that mob is so strong that the voters caved in because they don't want to hear from them. And it probably helps the game and ratings to put her as a WNBA starter. But it's not true. And you actually probably saw someone who should have been ahead of her last night hit a 3, who actually could have had a great defensive year. Or Taylor McBride had an incredible defensive year, number 2 in defensive rating. So we got to talk about it. That's not hate. That's fact.
I hear you. And the one thing I'll say about that, though, and before we bring Katia into the conversation to talk about how people can support WPFW, and before we talk October 16th and what it means to us, you know, I would point out, Chuck, just as a response to you, and I think all your points made are sterling. I just think it's much more closer than maybe you're saying. I mean, she averaged 19 points, a WNBA record, 8.4 assists, 5.7 rebounds. I'm just looking at the stats now. A little over 1.3 steals. I think it's a hell of a rookie season. Set a rookie record for assists as well. She set that.
Oh, no doubt.
A good number of
no doubt about
to
that.
Play. And the one thing I would say, Chuck, is that, and I'm not saying this means she deserves all first team, but I'm saying you got to tip your hat to Caitlin Clark for putting up these numbers and helping with Aaliyah Boston, of course, and others, helping bring the Indiana Pacers into the playoffs after, the Indiana Fever get into the playoffs after a dreadful season last year. They had the first pick in the draft for a reason. And she deserves credit for doing it after a terrible, terrible start to her career, you know, really bringing it together, particularly after the Olympics, and doing it under the brightest possible lights of everybody expecting her to be some kind of savior. So she's definitely earned my respect top to bottom. Whether that means first team is another question, but, you know, she's the real deal.
There's no question she's the real deal. There's no question she's going to be a top player. No question she's a brilliant passer, sees the floor incredibly. None of those are a question. And I could praise her all day on what she does well and make the tweaks she has to do better. But when we start to elevate her past what she's doing, it's not a question of Caitlin Clark. It's a question of which player are we denigrating who belongs. Which player had a better season, and are they being the ones who are being harmed?
A fair question, okay, to be sure. And Chuck, you know what? I love that you raised this stuff, because it is important that we examine the power relationships behind these decisions. I'm just saying that if Caitlin Clark, they have somebody who they don't have to make it up that this is somebody special for the purposes of elevating them. And, you know, she's not the Jerry Cooney
of the WNBA.
Oh, no, no, no. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. But you know, they had this standard. Jerry Sweeney, that was good, by the way. But the standard.
Thank you. I thought you'd like that.
No, that was good. I like the way you did that. But, you know, I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention again. When you say crazy things, like as announcers do, that if Stephen A. Smith says Donovan Mitchell's better than Stockton and Malone, best Utah Jazz player ever, which he said a few years ago, then you know what? No one takes that seriously. But when you say, as he said, that, you know what, Caitlin Clark should be in the conversation for the MVP, well, then what you've done is you've denigrated Aja Wilson, who just had the best season in probably WNBA history. Just, there is no conversation. She's unanimous. Nobody, not even Nafisa Collier, who would be an MVP in most other years. So when you say something like that because you want clicks or you want ratings, what happens is you actually have a group and the industry behind that statement that I'm sitting on Twitter arguing about that point that Aja Wilson. I have to literally sit there and people tell me she's better than Aja Wilson. There's not only one or two. I'm playing by the thousands. So we have a delusional fan base that can't be said, and I think that's what bothers me. And that's why we have to be accurate with our assessment.
Wow, very well put. Yo, we're halfway past the hour. I want to bring in Katia Stitt so she can speak about not only how you can support WPFW, not only how you can support the collision where sports and politics collide, but also where you can talk about defending Pacifica as an institution, a vital and critical institution on the political landscape from cyber attacks of entities that would do us harm. Katia Stitt, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Chuck, for really saying that part out loud. You know what I mean? We kind of tiptoe around it, but you're absolutely right. And even before that, though, we have to remember that WPFW has always been on the side of the marginalized, on the side of those resisting. We stand with 3 and Chairman Yeshitila and the persecution they're going through right now. We stand with Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's been wrongly imprisoned for decades. You know, these are issues that some don't understand and some don't agree with. And sadly, the ones who have often the money and the power are the ones that disagree and will ensure or try to ensure that you are silenced. But what we know about WPFW is that we stand on the shoulders of Ambrose Lane. We stand on the shoulders of Lauren Kress Love. We stand on the shoulders of Jesse McDade Bay, of Dr. Abdul Ali Muhammad, those that spoke truth to power unapologetically. And that is what we do, and that is what we will continue to do, and that is what the collision does. So if you are in that number, if you understand, truly understand the mission of Jazz and Justice Radio and what it means to be in the belly of the beast here in D.C. and what it means to be part of the Pacifica Network founded by pacifist Lewis Hill, who was jailed repeatedly for being a conscientious objector to war and founded Pacifica to ensure that there was a media outlet not controlled by the corporatocracy, not controlled by the government, but controlled by the people, beholden to the people. And that is what this program is. That is what this station is. And we want you to do as Jacqueline Magruder, who, by the way, gentlemen, is the sister of Scooter Magruder, whom we will hear a little later today at noon. He comes on with Don't Forget the Blues Hour, excellent musicology.
Mm.
So thank you so much, Jacqueline, and it's nice to have you in the family. So she got us started this morning, 4:70 to go, folks. We can do this together. Again, freedom is not free, but it is worth every penny. It's worth your ears because you're listening, and it's worth taking a stand because otherwise we don't get to an equitable world. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect with us. You can do it anytime. We want you to do it right now for the collision. You can also use Cash App, $ WPFWFM are the ways to connect with us. I'm sorry, I feel a little distracted because I don't have the language to convey how vitally important it is to have the collision here, how vitally important it is to have a WPFW, have media that dissents from the approved narrative, a media that brings you the voice of those that are not voiceless, but those who have been forcibly silenced. If you don't have that, you don't have democracy. This is not a democracy. We like to pretend it is, but it is not. But media outlets like WPFW and programs like The Collision help us to get closer to what we envision democracy to be. So please make that call that makes the difference. $470 to go, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Gentlemen?
Wow, excellent stuff, Katia Stitt. And I don't see how you can say you can't find the words, because I've got goosebumps. This is such an important issue. The question of media, I think we've come to learn, is really the question of popular knowledge. And what is part of the discourse in our society? What is part of the language of politics, the language of struggle, the ideas that people have access to? WPFW is critical in that process, and it's totally not surprising in a world dominated by apartheid enthusiasts like Elon Musk that they would try to silence our voices. So please support us. It's so important because it's about the ideas that people have access to if they want to change the world. Because we all know, if you want to change the world, but you don't really have the politics to understand how or why, you just know there's something wrong, that usually leads to a dead end. Without theory, there is no practice. Without practice, there is no theory. So please support us at WPFW so we can provide ideological and political support to all you young radicals and resistance fighters out there trying to change the world. It means a lot. Now, speaking of activists trying to change the world, for goodness sakes, I want to speak about yesterday, October 16th, the 56th anniversary of that moment in 1968 when John Carlos and Tommy Smith raised their black glove fists at the 1968 Olympics in the name of international human rights, civil rights, black freedom, the end to poverty, the end to apartheid South Africa, the end to racism in the Olympic movement, and the end of the stripping of Muhammad Ali's title. All of that was wrapped up in that moment after the 200-meter race when you had Tommy Smith, gold, John Carlos, bronze, raising their fists, and at the silver medal stand, Peter Norman, a white Australian runner who was standing in solidarity with them and also suffered a terrible price back home in Australia for daring to be a white person standing up against these social ills. But they all suffered. Smith, Carlos, Norman, they all suffered for daring to take this stance. And I, economically, their families. But you know what? John Carlos, he said to me once, he said, I regret nothing about what I did in 1968. The people with regrets are the ones who were there and did not say or do anything. So a very special day, Chuck, and it's easy just to tell the history. And it's important because a lot of people don't know the history. They don't know that they weren't wearing shoes on the platform to protest poverty, or that they're wearing beads to protest the history of lynching. They don't know that they were all, including Peter Norman, wearing buttons in solidarity, all a terrible breach of Olympic protocols. And then the fist, the ultimate breach during the playing of the U.S. national anthem. I bring it to you, Chuck. It's easy to talk about the history, important though it is, but what does that moment mean to you in 2024?
What does it mean to me? I think you just said it when you said, you know, how they're perceived and how they were going against the tide. I mean, when I think about right now, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, Palestine right now, where you're banging your head against the wall every day. Is this real? Is my own government really funding a genocide? Is this possible? Do all these people I know and respected are behind it, or they're silent? How can this happen? And then when I think about John Carlos and Tommy Smith and Peter Norman, you know, I think about all these accolades that come 30 years later, 40 years later. Oh, we love them now. They're not a threat now, right?
when what their protest was, but, you know, let Kaepernick do something and take a knee down. No, you're gone from the league. Let a genocide happen, and it's a different story. So I don't know if, and certainly America hasn't learned anything. We love heroes. I say we, not me and you, but we, the larger America, once you are no longer a threat, once it's in the past. So they could not be any more relevant right now, because I don't want to honor them. I want to repeat them. And we, and not just them, but we need as many people, anyone who's on the fence, who's even been quiet, it's time to stand up like John Carlos Thomas Smith and Peter Norman.
Wow. And, you know, you're not going to believe this. If I was, I swear to you, you're not going to believe this. But okay. Calling on my phone right now, as we're having this conversation, John
Carlos. Is John Carlos?
Staring at it right now. I'm staring at his name right now on my phone.
Oh, why don't you pick it up and put it on speaker? Why are you talking to me for? I'm nobody.
Oh, Lord,
get John on the, put that on
little, I can't call him and just put it. All right. Filibuster for a minute.
He needs to be on the air today.
Filibuster for a minute. I'm going to call him very quickly. Very quickly. Just give me one second.
It.
Hold on.
We got it. Yeah. We got it, Chuck. So listen,
yeah, what's
folks,
wrong with that?
This is the, I know, right?
They've got to go to the doctor or something. What are you talking
well,
to me
this
for?
This is the kind of radio, right, that you get at WPFW. We're about to have John Carlos on the air to commemorate this very important day. And this relevant day, it's relevant right now. I have no doubt if John Carlos were at an Olympics game and competing, he would do the same thing today for Palestine, for the Congo, for Sudan, for Southeast D.C., for Montgomery County. Wherever there is oppression and injustice, he would be there and his comrades would be there. And we need you to be there, folks. The listening audience who just heard that incredible moment, we need you to be there. $470, an easy lift. We know there are folks out there, Chuck, that can call in with $1,000.
Hello, everybody. I have on the line legend, humanitarian, and the fastest freedom fighter of the 20th century, Dr. John Carlos. Hello, Dr. Carlos.
Dave, this is an amazing situation, man. I woke up with you in my mind and my heart, man. I call you and you tell me you blasted my name on the show. So it's all divine, brother.
It is divine. It feels divine. It feels almost like a God who believes in the power of human liberation and struggle reached down and said, let us connect right now to project your voice out there to the people of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. It's such an honor to talk to you, Dr. Carlos. I think you know how important October 16th is as a date to me, to my colleagues at WPFW. You represent so much that's good about the world and about being in a long-term fight for social change. So thank you, sir. Where does your inspiration come from? Can you share that with us?
Well, man, I think it's part of my genealogy, man. My mom and dad was like this, and them coming together just instilled all of that in me and gave me the means and the time to find out who John Carlos was at a very early age, as well as I think I had a spirited revelation when I was a kid, 7, 8 years old. God showed me a vision and showed me ahead of time what Mexico was all about. I'm just so honored, man, to have done what I've done in life, to be here still today and be able to expound upon it, to see so many people turn around and realize that maybe they were wrong and I was right. But I have no bad vibes about anybody, man. It's the greatest invention of all is the eraser, you know, to make the corrections in life and move forward. But from this day to the day I die, I'll still be fighting for justice and equality, not just merely for me as a black man, but for all men, all women, all children. See that we have a fair shot in life. I don't care who the enemy is. Rest assured, I'm coming after you.
Wow. You know, Dr. Carlos, I'm sorry, Katia is there.
Before, wow, number three.
Dr. Carlos, so generous with your time jumping on with us. I don't want to keep you too long. Of course, I'll give you a ring after the show is done. But I wanted to give Katia and Chuck, my co-host today, just a chance if there's anything you'd like to say to Dr. Carlos before we let him go.
Well, I'll just say, Dr. Carlos, I'm in tears right now because you're a freedom fighter, and that's what we need. And I hope that people will understand. I remember when you came to the station, that beautiful picture of you and our dearly departed brother, Askia Muhammad, who you know,
right.
It, at our Champlain Street studios. He was also a freedom fighter. If you could just offer a few words on why media outlets like WPFW are important, why a Dave Zirin, a Chuck Milano, on the Collision are important to have and to, important to support from your vantage point.
Well, you know, you have to realize that the stampede is coming at us, not with us. In order for us to expound upon the ills of society, we have to be strong enough to, you know, wade our way through that, to make them realize that at the end, man, we've run all this time and we've said all these things and we've done all these things and find that we've been going the wrong way all the time. Someone has to go against the grain to make them realize their mistakes in life. So your station is very important because you speak the truth. Many stations are more about trying to sell ads and trying to sell headlines, and very, very few stations actually speak upon the truth. And this is why, you know, it's the spiritual divine. Through all that try and shut you down, you still grow stronger every year. And you wake up, if you say, I just wake up one person a day, your job is done. But remember, you do far greater than that one. But your mission is to reach one a day.
Wow. I'll never forget, Dr. Carlos, you and I doing a talk way out there in the South Bronx. And I was worried that there no one would show up because it was like a 30-minute walk from the train station just to get to the spot. And I said, wow, Dr. Carlos, I'm really sorry if I dragged you all the way out here and we don't have like a full house or something, because we're in the South Bronx, like far from any public transportation. And you said to me, David, if I can just reach one person, this is time very well spent. And that filled me with so much confidence. Yeah. About social change. So,
well, that's what it's about, Dave. I'm just glad, Dan, that I'm still here, you know, to be able to express myself and try and invigorate, excite, and move other individuals to do what's right.
Wow. Well, Dr. John Carlos, your time I know is precious. I really appreciate you taking the time to jump on with us. I'll give you a ring so we can kibitz about what's going on here on the home front, but it in the politics of this crazy messed up world. But yo, October 16th is a sacred day for me and for so many who believe in social justice and a better world. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Collision, unexpectedly and beautifully.
I just want to send out love to all my people out there, and I would hope that you reach out and go to the polls on the 5th, and if possible, go before the 5th. And cast your vote. My vote is Kamala Harris, and I would hope that you would follow me to the victory stand and on to the polling place.
And you're in Georgia, so please stay safe during this voting season. I know that's a different operation there than in Maryland, to put it mildly.
Absolutely.
So best to you, sir. Be safe.
You too, Dave. Take care. Much love.
Well, that was unexpected.
That was a moment.
Chuck.
That was a moment.
Wow. That was no a words. Moment. I know.
I was gonna go to you to a question, Chuck, but I keep such a close eye on the clock that I wanted to make sure that the three of us had a chance to just reflect for a second and just say, wow.
Wow. First of all, I want to lambast you. You say, Dr. John Carlos is calling, and all I'm going through, well, why are you talking to me then? Answer that phone. get, you know, like, that's a no-brainer. So that's a beautiful moment.
Live radio,
right,
Chuck.
It is. And, you know, it's the best pitch. Like, after that, it's like a mic drop. There's nothing else we can say to people to ask them for their support. This is what we're about. This is who we are. We have John Carlos singing the praises of WPFW and The Collision.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you need listening right now than to follow his lead, not only to the polls, but to WPFW? Endorse WPFW with your dollars. Endorse what we stand for. We are definitely against the grain, and we must be. That is what we're founded on. That is what The Collision does. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. $470. If you feel energized and recommitted even more like I do right now, then it is incumbent upon you to call and pledge your support. $470. It's an easy lift, and many hands do indeed make light work.
Wow, well put. And I'll just throw out there that it's great to work with someone like, first of all, like Chuck Modiano, who gets it like few people get it, who I've met in my travels. And Katia Stitt, the sort of person who would say, get him on the line, instead of, oh, wow, how interesting. Let's continue with our live radio show. Katia said, yeah. Get him on the line.
Yeah.
And I love that approach. I don't think I would have done it without your encouragement. And what an amazing experience that was. And you know what? That Carlos approach of saying, you know, each one teach one, try to reach that one person, is so beautiful to me, because here's someone who's been on the front lines, sometimes involuntarily, because of that image, on the front lines for 56 years. And he is still saying there is tremendous value in even just reaching that one person.
Yep.
That
and you
gives
know,
me hope.
Well, you know, we did reach someone, because we have Marvin Walden to thank right now at Fort Washington, Maryland, who clearly gets it. Thank you so much, Marvin, for being in that number. $350 to go, folks. You know, we love a challenge, but we can do this. It's not even a challenge. We can do this together. Now it's 325. It's a tick, tick, tick. Lenora, you always hear us and understand us, Lenora. Thank you so much out of Owings, Maryland. $325 to go, folks. 800-222-9739. John Carlos this morning has inspired us all. But that's also the work of Chuck Modiano. You need to know, constantly on the front lines, documenting and bringing us the voices, putting himself in harm's way. Dave Zirin, same thing. So this is who you're dealing with. You know, these are the people that ensure that we always speak truth to power. And I wouldn't even say to power, that we speak the truth, because there is no power. We have people who are misleading us. That's not power. Power is when you speak the truth. Power is when you can lift people up. Even one, as John Carlos said, that is true power. So $325 to go, 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org.
I mean, anybody, as we're seeing right now about the people in office, anybody can scare us. Anybody, if you have a pulpit big enough, you can make people feel fear. But it's only on the grassroots, really, where you can make people feel a true sense of hope. And that's what John Carlos and his legacy in life really do bring to the table, that sense of hope, that sense of we, through our own activity, can make a difference. And so in the little time we have left here on WPFW on The Collision, we really want to encourage you to be that one person who makes a difference, to call in, to support us, to support the station, to support the station in the face of cyber attacks, and to support the kind of place that John Carlos would say, oh, WPFW, of course, put me on the air on no moment's notice, just to speak to the people in the DMV. I mean, right when we were talking about it too, I bet there's a listener or two out there who thinks that was planned. I give you my word that was not
That's
planned.
Amazing.
That
at
was
same,
just John
at
Carlos.
At the very same time.
At
to the
same
to the second
time.
There was something at work there that, you know, there was something bigger going on.
Exactly. And we want to thank Gary. Oh, my gosh, Gary. Fan of DZ, Eton, and Chuck. Friend of Gary Nelson, Dave.
Oh, Gary Nelson.
Referee buddy of Coach. So Gary's just in the family. Thank you so much, Gary. And he's got
Gary Nelson
closer.
Fan.
Closer. $175 to go. We have 7 minutes. We can do it. John Carlos has energized us all. What a beautiful morning. And it was absolutely not planned. I was stunned. I was in shock when Dave said, oh, John Carlos is calling. And Chuck and I both were like, well, why aren't you putting him on the air right now?
Well, yeah. What are you talking to me for?
Right. Exactly. Hang up or do whatever you got to do and come back. So, we got another one, gentlemen. Another one. Jim, please thank as Jim, which I just did. Thank you, Jim. Silver Spring, I didn't mess up. $75 to go, folks. We can do this. Let us do this in honor of John Carlos. Really, anyone out there, let us do this commemorating his and the action of his comrades that day on October 16th.
Yeah, and, you know, I think about John Carlos being with me at Occupy Wall Street almost 15 mm-hmm. years ago. I think of him on the front lines of even the debate about the Washington football team mascot, because John Carlos has some indigenous heritage as well, and that was an issue that was very important to him. But really, you name some of the issues that have existed since 2000, to Israel-Palestine as well. He's never been shy about raising his voice and using the fact that he has this kind of stature among people fighting for social justice. Because we remember that in 1968, they were also fighting against apartheid South Africa. And we
Absolutely.
Know that there's an apartheid situation that demands an international response taking place right now in its most deadly variant. In Israel right. and Gaza. Apartheid has existed for decades, but the way it's being weaponized right now as a tool for genocide, you cannot separate the realities of apartheid from the realities of genocide. One of the things that frankly makes apartheid so dangerous is the ability to isolate and kill and, of course, mm-hmm. oppress. And so to have John Carlos, somebody who spoke out about it then, visit us today, to me only strengthens my resolve to live in a world based on principles of justice. And people need to support WPFW so we can spread the gospel of justice.
And you know, we're almost there. We want to thank John Johnson. And John, we agree with you. This was divine intervention, absolutely, this morning to have him call Dave and be on the air. We have $25 to go, folks. Someone, let's just knock it out the park. Keep the calls coming for the collision. $25, 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org.
Maybe people can even think of it in these last couple of minutes as they are part of the process that allows us to reach that one person, that everybody is part of the operation here. It's just what makes WPFW special. It's the people like Magic Mike making it happen on the production side. It's the people like Katia Stitt organizing more than I do not even understand how she has the capacity to organize. It's people like Chuck Modiano, who brings that experience in the streets to our show, as well as the sports knowledge that's second to none. It's people like Etan Thomas, who see this as an important part of their lives as authors, thinkers, speakers, and people trying to make a dent in the world. WPFW is a part of that, and it's vital for people like myself who think staying connected to the people and the politics of the DMV is absolutely critical for being able to understand change and how we move forward from here. So please support WPFW in these last minutes we have left. Allow the collision to reach its goal, and also do it as a way to remember the day that John Carlos heard a voice somewhere and decided to give a call.
And Dave, can I just interject? We have one more to thank, and we want to thank Judith A., who says, thank you, Dave, for having Dr. John Carlos, Olympian, on the air. Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. Keep the call coming, 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org. Excuse me for speaking of you, Dave. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say the thanks are to WPFW, really, because if I'd said to John Carlos, hey, I'm on 1050 The Fan, sports radio, he'd probably be like, all right, well, call me when you're done. But
hold up. I think Kaepernick is calling me right now, but we might be
really
out of time.
Chuck. Put Kaepernick on the line, Chuck.
Are you kidding us right now, Chuck?
I am kidding you.
Oh, I was like, what? We might have to preempt the next hour.
I mean,
you know
I've
what I'm
had,
saying?
We've had exchanges, but hey, I'm joking. Just on that.
Hey, it's so great to speak to everybody. Chuck, any last thoughts for us?
Just Shohei Ohtani, get that ring. Cap off that 50-50 season.
Love it. I'm actually rooting for the Dodgers myself if they beat the Mets. And Katia Stitt, any last words for everybody?
if I can do it, I just say stay frosty. We are.